Hello, everyone. I'm trying to make a right turn out of this alleyway. And I'm probably going to be sitting here forever because there's so many people crossing the street. Oh, you fucking piece of shit. Get off your fucking phone and fucking walk. Just lackadaisically fucking strolling across the alley and smelling like, oh, business, business, business. Move it. Move it. All right. Whatever. Wait, is there a Giants game? What the fuck is happening? Did baseball start? Oh, this must be the fucking... the Bay Bridge series. Right? Because I see just enough people in Giants shit and A's shit walking in the direction of the ballpark that they must be playing, right? Did I just, like, fucking blink and miss all of spring training? God. God. Because, like, isn't that always like this? It's the weekend before the start of the start of the real season, I think, is when they have the Giants and A's play a 3-game set. And this guy with this beard is definitely going to the Giants game. It's a large beard, sir. Man, baseball. That'll be good. Yeah, honk. That totally makes it better. That's a good call. The fact that no one can turn into the street we're trying to turn into, combined with all the pedestrians and all this other stuff, you honking totally makes all this possible. Like, yeah. No one was going to go, but then that guy honked, and now we're all like, oh, I guess. I don't know. Alright, I'm out in the middle of this intersection, which is currently getting blocked by cars. That's bad. I'm trying to make this left turn, and as soon as all these fuckers get out of the way, I will. I will. And by get out of the way, I mean eventually this light will turn yellow and I'll be able to go. Like that. Now I can sit here for a while. Man, this is... getting out of the city today is going to be sort of assy. I ain't lying! Let's make fart noises. In traffic. All right, I'm good. Now I'm moving up to this light. I'm going to sit here for a while. Yeah, this is good stuff. Motherfucker. Oh well. There's still, you know, some light. It's a little overcast, but, you know, it's not dark, so that's good. I'm doing all right. I'm just tired. Hiram. Now I'm basically flying. Doing like a... I'll go through this fucking yellow light, that's for sure. Yeah.
You!
Come on, Lincoln Navigator, get in my lane. It's cool over here. I'll let you in the interests of, you know, mankind, you know, world peace. How about that? World peace. This camera getting in my lane, though. Not a fan. Oh, and then you punked out and said, I'm not even going to get in this lane. And then stayed in the lane you were in before, huh? I see how it is. All talk. You're all talk, Camry. Some bullshit.
What is this music that's being played?
whatever. Oh, there's an ambulance and a fire truck here. That's why traffic is so on, because people have to get out of this lane to make room for this fire truck sitting here in front of this bank and this subway, I guess. I don't know. Now that I'm past that, it's like almost like regular driving. This is going to be a street against the light on his bike with his crazy hair. Look at me, I'm a scientist. Yeah, this street's all fucked up. There's a lot of cars out here. This guy with his pinstripe suit and his... This guy's a horn player. I can just by looking at him, this man is walking around looking for a trumpet. Perhaps a trombone. This fucking white fedora braided... Braided ponytail. Pinstripe suit, white shoes, white fedora. It's like, hey, where's the Squirrel Nut Zippers show? He says. It'll be fine, I think. Flashing, you cannot deny. Now, now, to see it in juice extractor. Know what the radio might play. The real game from somebody that didn't need it. Break it all the way down so everyone can get it. Get it. And I got it. Need it. Need it. Roll me bumping. And a hand combat. Sometimes I live bumping. You can't win every fight, fight, but you gotta fight, though. Just make sure when you do, you on the side of right, bro. You don't go in thinking you making history. But looking back in retrospect, it ain't a mystery. Hear this song again. I could stand to hear this song. Turf. Not here to get oh. On that. Roxanne's Revenge is me pretty hard to listen to. Satellite radio would just consolidate its name down to XM. And get rid of this whole Sirius XM thing post-merger. XM is such a better name. Like, it's kind of, it's dumb, but like perfect. In that, like, you know, you just envision like man in a suit, slick back hair going, no, we got it, we got it. AM, FM, XM. It's extreme modulation. I wonder if they ever decided what they wanted that to stand for, if asked. Or if it was just like, if that is as far as they got. It's like, no, it's like AM, FM, but it's fucking XM. Yo, XM, this shit's nuts, it's wild, it's extreme. I guess it's kind of dated. I guess you can tell when they named this thing. Because no one really uses it. I feel like the letter X got a bad rap through the 2000s, through the extreme sports era. You know, it really got a bum rap. The X is a cool letter. It's a cool letter. Of the letters, it is amongst the coolest. I think K is a pretty cool letter. Z is obviously a very cool letter. Oh, awesome. Dave Matthews Band. They're really good. Dave Matthews and his band. Yeah, fucking jam it out, man. Let's fucking hear this shit. It's fucking hacky sack, dude. Let's hack, bro. We're gonna hack, dude. You know, the Aqua catalog is deep and great. You know, Barbie Girl's fine, but it's definitely not... it's not Aqua's best work by a long shot. Favorite League of Legends champion? Skrillex. It's just good for soloing mid. Red Hots. The fucking dude in Aqua only had sideburns. And didn't you have it like linking together around back or something? Like, no, he was just shapely and he just pretty much had sideburns. You know? That's pretty much perfect. Thank you.
John Allen on the Big 80s on 8, and I am here because I bid on an auction for Why Hunger to help the children, and I hope you're enjoying the music that I'm playing. This is some of my favorite songs from the 80s. You know, Rod Stewart was very powerful in the 80s, came out with a lot of music. This song, he features Jeff Beck on guitar. If you want to catch Rod Stewart, he's playing at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas in May. This song is Infatuation from the Big 80s.
I wonder how much she had to bid to charity to be a guest DJ on the Hades station. I think this song's about fucking. Placed the Marin County sign on the bridge to let you know that you are no longer in San Francisco County or whatever. It's a new sign. Brand new sign. I don't think I've ever seen that sign before in my life. Now you're up to date with bridge happenings. That's why I drive all the way through it and try not to stop.
CD changer set on random. Hey, listen to what's in drawer number 4.
What? Oh, it's Michael W. Smith. Great. Awesome. It's real good.
Universal, the boys really like it, the girls don't speak. Hey, roll No sheep, it ain't my fault, but I can upgrade you. Show you how to use nice things with nice flavors. What you know about me? What you know about me? What you know about me? What you know? And my lip gloss is cool. My lip gloss be popping. I'm saving in my locker, and all the boys keep stopping. What you know about me? What you know about me?
Is your lip gloss popping?
What you know? And my lip gloss is popping.
Okay,
my lip gloss is cool. All the boys keep jocking. They chase me at the school.
I feel like this is the part where the song kind of breaks down. Like, I don't like this part as much. Just kind of singing it out here. It just doesn't work for me the way the rest of the track does.
Singing the eighth period, you thought I was in trouble. Didn't call me on the loudspeaker on a double. I stepped in the office like, yes, Miss McClarson. She like, girl, ran out of my lip glossing. Right down where you get yours from. Cause I must admit, that bubble gum is popping. It's poppin', she ain't frontin'. And I be loving it, I be rubbing it on my lips, my lip gloss. What you know about me, what you know? Oh. My lip gloss is cool, my lip gloss be poppin'. I'm savin' in my locker, and all the boys keep stopping. What you know about me?
Maybe I should get some of this lip gloss. It sounds really awesome. I
mean,
just seems like it might, I don't know, be good to have. Doesn't really sound like there's a downside. Oh, cool, Jessica Simpson. How come we haven't had a Jessica Simpson album in so long? I feel like we're being deprived of art.
Table at the wrong speed. Want to try it again?
Backspin my G.
They sure do play this song a lot.
Now, who's hot, who not? Tell me who rock, who sell out in the stores. You tell me who pop, who cop.
Yeah, I just don't have this. I don't have it in me. Not today.
is crawling up.
Been open, man. Graining on that wood.
What? Oh, word? I produced the music video for this song. Yeah, Marky Mark and some associates came to me and said, make my video ski. And I was like, all right, what do you want to see in it? And they were like, we want to see a lot of water balloons, but no coins. And I was like, I think I can do that. And then I made that video ski. And I was like, peace, I'm out like shouts. And then they seem to like it, I don't know. I thought it was a little hectic, but you know, I would have liked to have just used more raw performance footage, but instead it ended up having a lot of black and white public domain cartoons, which I don't really think fit the vibe of the song, but you know, hey, they wanted it made that way, and what am I gonna do? At the end, it seemed like you know, the benefactors liked it, and then Mark Wahlberg told me that the video was fat. So yo, the video's fat. I'm like, all right. Thank you. Like, on par with Red Hot Chili Peppers when it comes to songs that sound exclusively like California, I feel like Everclear is right there. Like, if you want to say, like, hey, man, you're listening to K-Rock, and then Everclear starts playing, you're like, yeah, of course. like to have her clear all that much. It's okay.
You counting stars.
So to lay it all out there, and if I'm honest to the audience, maybe they'll get connected to me. And it went even further than I thought with the whole YN thing. And then people would just really, like, go to the editorial first to really kind of, you know.
I mean, it set the stage. It set the table for the whole magazine. But where did you get your actual start and stuff? How'd you get in your break in the business?
In 92, I met a brother named Sasha Jenkins. And he had a magazine called Beatdown, independent magazine. And I got down with those guys. And he had a partner named Haji. And I got down with them. I became music editor with them. And that's when I started getting free records, you know, as a DJ. You know,
that was the best thing back now. Yeah. People take it for relevant because you can go download stuff for free. But getting that stuff for free, no, especially.
And you had to know the labels because the labels had the product, you know. And, like, I didn't know about that. And I remember going to buy, trying to buy They Reminisce Over You and the Fake and the Funk remix.
Yeah.
And I was at a record store trying to get it, and the dude wouldn't sell it to me. And it was like, why can't I get it? Well, it's a white label. I'm like, what's a white label? Yeah. I was like, I'll pay 20, pay whatever. Like, I got money. Like, it wouldn't sell it to me. He's like, nah, but I go to the record, I got it from the record company. I was like, you got it from the record company? And I was like, Electra Records this, and the college promo guy that. So I started lying and saying I was a DJ just to get vinyl. And then when I became a journalist, I started learning about the publicity department.
You would have
the advanced cassette back then. Artists would actually have to give their records to the record label, and they would, like...
Well, because remember, it wasn't like nowadays. Like, nobody gives out the things early because they're scared that it'll leak. But it used to be, you know, you'd get them months in advance because there was the internet, and you'd hear that, because you had to get the reviews in time for the magazine.
Exactly. Like, so many interviews now, I know it's a challenge for you. It's like, a lot of times you can't really talk about the music. Because artists don't want to reveal the music till it's, like, out. So it's, like, a lot of interviews is tough. You can't. So the idea with that was that by the time you did the interview with the artist, you knew the album front and back, and you could ask intelligent questions about the album. That, to me, is, like, the center of what I do with Crown. At the end of the day, I'm still talking about, like, what I felt about Mastermind or what I felt about, you know, Schoolboy Q's album when I sit with these guys. And that's where it comes from, like, that level of research. So that was the passion and just the love of,
like,
the music.
Like, unlike you, who just gives these bullshit interviews. Like, what a dick.
And then that led to The Source, which led to Double XL, which now leads to Rap Radar, Respect, Keep It Thorough, The Truth, and Crown.
Wow.
That's it. Crazy. And my laugh. I got to do something with my laugh, man.
Yeah, people love your laugh. You got the infamous laugh, bro.
The business acumen is incredible, man. I can't tell them I can't trademark my laugh, though. I tried.
I think you might be able to. It's so unique. It's different. It is, because it's so unique, because it has to be different than anything else out there. It's got to be something that nobody else can do, and I don't think anybody else can get that laugh.
Yeah, no, I didn't realize I had a laugh until later in my life, but...
That is Elliot Wilson right there. We're going to take a quick break, get to the music. I'm DJ Ski. DJ Bass, take it away. See Bob Nation.
Say what you will, but Elliot Wilson is definitely a fucking name in the world of fucking hip-hop, journalism. Say what you will about a guy saying he's wanting free music. whatever. Might have been, because he ran Double XL, I think, when it first started. I think he was probably one of the guys that had to get out of The Source when The Source stuff went, like, when they just crossed some real bad ethical boundaries at The Source, and then it just kind of led to the formation of Double XL. And Double XL was just, like, when it launched, it was just so much better than The Source. Like, The Source had just become so, like, bloated, and just, like, you could tell that the owners of The Source were pulling some strings they shouldn't pull. Like, it read that way. So when, like, all that stuff blew up, you're like, yeah, all right. One more article about the fucking almighty RSO or something. I ended up immediately subscribing to Double XL. When it first started, we got it for a couple of years. They were doing They were producing a quality magazine. And I let my Source subscription lapse around that time, too. And I don't know. I mean, I think they still print XXL. I don't know. I assume they do, but I'm not really getting any rap magazines these days. You know, if I'm in an airport, like, waiting for a flight or something, and I see some rap magazines, I'm gonna buy some rap magazines. Just on a whim, hook up a rap magazine. You know, Rap Pages or Word Up. Yeah, like that Benzino dude, the guy that like ran the or owned the Source and then or owned part of it and kind of controlled it into the ground. Like that stuff just seemed like there were just all kinds of voicemails of him like abusing other like female editors and stuff. I don't think they were even at the magazine. It's like someone else who was formerly there or something. Like those voicemails leaked out and were insane. And there's just a lot of real crazy shit around that dude that was just like, what? Like, you don't give a fuck about any kind of independent, like, voice, anything. Like, you are just a dirtbag running this. And it was like, there was, like, that, it was really interesting. Like, it was just, like, so crazy because then that led to just, like, this Benzino and Eminem battle where there were just, like, a lot of diss tracks back and forth and, like, Benzino's not a good rapper, so it was just like, what the fuck? Like, Eminem was just fucking crushing him. So then, you know, it's like, that's when they went out and tried to find, like, racist tapes of Eminem's upbringing and blah, blah, blah. And try to, you know, put him on the cover as, like, we're outing him as damaging to the culture. Like, no, it's damaging to the culture is you fucking taking what used to be, like, the best spot for information about this music. And completely fucking corrupting it from within. Like, that's the... And, of course, like, you know, like, XXL just put Eminem on the cover every fucking month during that time and the run-up to that because, like, you know, the Source had their fucking problems with him and, you know, like, those issues would sell better. I'd probably assume, you know, you put Eminem, 50 Cent, and Dr. Dre on the cover of your fucking magazine, like, people are gonna fucking buy that thing. At that point, at that time, now I'm sure it's a little different, but just like all the tell-alls and stories and articles and stuff that came out kind of about the last days of the Source in terms of it being a viable voice, you know, were really interesting to me as someone who, you know, is in a similar line of work. I mean, you know, pretty different, but it's still a trade publication, still kind of trade journalism, an insular community in a lot of ways. You know, it's like all the stories about Benzino and Dave Mays are just like completely crazy. I remember thinking at some point they had to like come back and like put out an issue with the Source that were just like, under new ownership. Like, we've gotten those fucking dudes out of here. Per purged this magazine of that stuff. I think they still print the source, I assume. Like I said, I guess I haven't really seen it. But it was one of those things, like, you know, like, the stuff with the source was, like, kind of bad on its own, but, you know, if you look at, you know, what Eminem, like, you know, the series of mixtapes that came out around that era, like, just exposing so much of that stuff and all that, like, I think really, it was one of those things that really ruined the source's credibility to a wider audience. You know, that stuff got out there more than it would have otherwise, so... I do feel like it was one of those cases where, like, yeah, it's a rap battle, but, like, this has actual business consequences for careers and such because of the actual shit going on behind it. But you can't say that very often of, like, a rap battle, like, oh, this actually had a major impact on my ability to earn a living. Like, Ja Rule could probably say that. Similar era, I guess. Same fucking mixtapes half the time. But whatever, I guess Ja Rule went to jail for a while, right? But, like, they, you know, 50 Cent and those guys, like, did a really good job of making Ja Rule seem like a complete fucking joke. And if you're, it's one of those things where, like, if image is everything in this music... Which, you know, for that stuff, it, like, you know, gangsta rap, like, it very much is, like, what image do you portray, and, you know, record sales follow on the back of that, as well as, to some extent, the quality of the music, but, like, the whole package matters, for better or for worse. It was a case where, by the end of that, they had made Ja Rule look so foolish that, like, how is he supposed to, like, put out a record and be like, I'm very tough. I'm like, no. It's not a credible claim anymore. While there, like, Ja Rule was, like, this dumb intersection of Jay-Z and DMX. He was never great, but, like, he could guest on tracks with people like that and be, like, somewhat credible, and you're like, I don't know, Ja Rule, maybe he's okay. He's got his songs for the ladies, like, you know, LL Cool J would or something. Like, maybe he could have gone somewhere, but then it's just like, nope, nope. Beefing. You know what I'm saying? I thought post G-Unit Game put out some pretty good mixtapes. Like, Game was doing well for a while there. And then it, you know, just became obvious that Game is out of his fucking mind. And you're like, oh, that's, I don't know. I was kind of into what you had to say, and then all of a sudden you went and got a face tattoo of a butterfly, and I don't think that's a good look. Are you out of your mind? These older tracks just sound insane now with like no, it's just like, I don't know, there are drums. You got a bass line? No. Occasionally there's going to be some like scratches and some stabs or something, but like, no. We got hand claps and fucking closed hi-hats, a kick and a fucking snare, and then, I don't know, I'm just going to tap them into this machine and then you say something over it. Yeah, it's where the crypt is. Of course. Pepper's back. So I'm pretty sure this is an 808. Sounds a lot like an 808 to me. But I'm not super familiar with what, like, a 909 sounds like, or some of the other stuff of the era, the, like, lead drum or whatever the fuck. Backpack. I said grab this backpack. It's unzipped and I want stuff falling out of it. There. Get out here and get the mail. What did I order? Oh, right. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I'll bring this in for the show tomorrow. If it works, if I can figure it out. I don't think the instructions are in this language. But, all right. See you guys later.